You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
There it is. The first time having to bust out the sad music. Three-game losing streak for the Denver Nuggets as they drop to the Milwaukee Bucks at home. And what, you know, I think is a mixed game, to be honest. It's not – there's a lot of tension, I think, around Denver Nuggets fans, you know, the locker room. Certainly there was a weightiness to the team. I think, you know, there's obviously more bad than good, I think, surrounding the team at the moment. But I got to say, on rewatch, there were some good parts to it. I mean, it's clearly not a win, but there were some good things that we can discuss in this one, and maybe that some good things that the Denver Nuggets themselves can build off of. But this is the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network, and I'm your host, Adam Mades, DenverStiffs.com. Follow us Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We have all of the interviews post-game on YouTube. I think they're all for, you know, not for everybody, but for diehards that really want to try to get a sense of the team right now. You can really get a sense by checking out the post-game interviews in their entirety on our YouTube page. So be sure to subscribe. We're trying to get up to over 1,000 subscribers by the end of November. We'll see if we can do it. I think we're at like 750 or something right now. So go ahead and subscribe on there. Even if you're not like a YouTuber, just subscribe on there. For one, it would help us out. And then for two, you know, that way you never miss some of the videos that we're doing. We'll probably have another episode of the Stiffs NBA show coming out this week. So go ahead and do that. Also, voicemail. If you want to call me tomorrow, I'll probably feature a lot of voicemails for tomorrow's show. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about what's going on with the team right now. So send me those questions, 303-578-9393. That's 303-578-9393. Save it in your phone. Save it as Locked On Nuggets. Save it as Adam Mades, whatever you want to save it as. But that way you always know who to call or how to get a hold of me. I will play your message on the show if it's a good question. Keep your questions short, though. The shorter the question, the more likely you are to get on the show. So let's get into it. Obviously, this episode of the show is going to be on this Milwaukee game. Denver drops 121-114. There's just so much to go over in this one that I don't want this episode to run long. So I want to dive right in. The Nuggets changed their starting lineup. Juancho Hernan Gomez into the starting lineup. Torrey Craig out. Not just out, by the way. Torrey Craig out and then out of the rotation. And I kind of suspected this. You know, it was one of those things where Malik Beasley's been playing really well. We're going to talk about him later. Juancho's obviously been playing well. Monte Morris playing well. Mason Plumlee. So that's your bench right there. Trey Lyles, of course, as well. Not a whole lot of minutes there to go around. I mean, Torrey Craig sort of got that starting position because to add a little defense into that first unit. But when you put him to the second unit, he's much less needed. So not a surprise that he was out. Juancho did get the nod. A tough matchup for him, having to go up against Middleton and Giannis. Middleton had a great game tonight, 8 of 12. That guy is silky smooth, man. He hit some tough shots. I think the overarching story of the game actually was just Milwaukee hit some tough shots. I mean, they're hard to guard anyway. Even they're the number two offense in the NBA. The Warriors, obviously, number one. But Milwaukee, the number two offense in the NBA, number one defense, or actually number two defense. I think Denver entered tonight as the number one. So you got what could arguably be the best team in the NBA at the moment, certainly a top three team. I think Golden State, Toronto, and Milwaukee are the three teams that just seem to me to be a lot better than everybody else at the moment. You hope Denver would be in that conversation, and maybe if fully healthy, maybe they could have been. But, you know, there's a reason. I saw a lot of people, including Malone, sort of, you know, oh, we changed the starting lineup, and all of a sudden now our defense goes to hell. I think, you know, Milwaukee averages 121.6 points per game. They scored 121. I mean, they're right at their season average. There's a reason that they're very good, 10-3, and it's because they're good on both sides of the ball. To start this game, Nikola Jokic came out shooting. This is the second game in a row now that he has come out and really been aggressive right from the start. He finished with just 14 shots and only two free throws, but I thought, especially in the first and in the third quarters, I thought he was very aggressive trying to put the defense on their heels and did a good job of picking his spots. The only thing I would say is not a lot of post touches for him tonight, not a lot of post-up opportunities. Brook Lopez, a very strong guy. There was obviously the big post-up late in the game where Jokic turned it over. But it's just kind of interesting that it seems like Jokic in the last game against Brooklyn does so much of his damage from the post. That's he operated almost exclusively from the post. And in some games, it's like he operates exclusively from the elbows or from the wing, or from the top of the key. So kind of interesting that Jokic, that tonight's game was so – that he was so loud with that jumper and so impactful there but not down on the block. I thought Trey Lyles was bad defensively tonight. I'm going to bounce around notes here sort of in chronological order how I have them written in my notebook. Trey Lyles really struggled with defensively tonight. I thought him and Jamal Murray were the two guys that – gave up the most sort of it wasn't just that they were getting blown by, but that they were giving up position in moments where the guy didn't really earn it. So, you know, you're trying to contain Giannis, for example, and sometimes you do the best defense you can and he just still gets around you. That's why he's an MVP candidate. But other times there was guys like Brogdon or DiVincenzo or Connington where they would break the guys down off the dribble and you thought, man, they didn't even use a good move. It wasn't even a quick first step. The defense just wasn't focused. And I thought Trey Lyles was one of those guys tonight. Denver did – so their defense struggled. You know, Milwaukee in that first half – or first quarter, I thought there were several good defensive possessions, good rotations by Denver that ended with Milwaukee hitting tough shots or maybe even shots that you think, okay, they're running a little bit hot tonight. That being said, Denver still had a 35-33 lead because their offense was just incredible. I think the insertion of Juancho Hernangómez really helped them to get at least a little bit closer. I don't think their offense was perfect tonight, but it was at least a little bit closer to getting a rhythm going. And I think Denver shooting as well as they did tonight, 47.4% from three, had at least a little bit to do with just that very fact. Nuggets were able to establish a rhythm. That 35 points that they scored in the first quarter, just for reference, that's the most that Milwaukee has allowed in a quarter so far this season. So Denver's offense getting it done, even if their defense was, you know, not great tonight. Although I got to say, it wasn't great in certain stretches, but there was a lot of moments where I thought the defense was good and they just gave up an unlucky shot. We'll get to a couple of the big ones, but in that first quarter, there was a handful of possessions where you just kind of go, okay, they good process, bad result for the Nuggets. So there were, I'm going to talk about some of the defensive breakdowns, especially in this next segment, but there were, I thought the Bucks really were just on fire for a lot of this game and just making everything. I thought Jamal Murray was really bad defensively in this game. He was bad offensively, too, with some of his decision-making. But defensively, I thought Malcolm Brogdon won that matchup between the two of them, and that was a key – it turned out that turned out to be a key matchup. There was a lot of times where Brogdon just went around him or got around him, slithered around him, really. It's one of those things where you got one-on-one containment and he got beat. There was the real famous play in the second quarter where I think it was Connington that got behind Murray for a wide-open dunk. I mean, Murray's focus in this game I thought was very, very poor on the defensive end. And Brogdon was one of the guys that sort of put him on his heels. Brogdon, an extremely high IQ player, having a bounce-back season. He was Rookie of the Year, then had a bit of a lull. I think Mike Budenholzer, I'll get to that a little bit later. But Brogdon really, I thought, won that head-to-head matchup. Fortunately, so part of this was I thought the Nuggets were in rhythm, but one of the big stories of this game, and certainly of the first quarter, was that Paul Millsap was absolutely on fire from behind the three-point line, and this is big for him. So Paul Millsap, 5 of 8 from the three-point line. He finished with 25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Curiously enough, he was a minus 14 as most of the starter. Actually, him, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, the three best players on the Nuggets roster, a minus 14 and two minus 17. So kind of an inverted plus-minus of what most people would expect. But Millsap, 5 for 8 from behind the three-point line. He only had 6 made field goals, so only one inside the paint. It was that dunk at the very end of the game. But that three-point shooting, I think, is huge for him. One of the problems the Nuggets are having, spacing the floor. You insert Juancho Hernangómez to the small forward position, that gives you a little bit more. And then if Paul Millsap can consistently hit down, he doesn't have to go 5-for-8 every night. But if he can go 2-for-4 some nights, 2-for-5, 3-for-5, I think that opens things up for Denver quite a bit. And even if it doesn't open it up, that you make people pay. So he was on fire in this game, and it was a big reason why Denver was able to have their offense working so well tonight. The Nuggets, and like I said, they really struggled with containing the ball, especially in that first half, and even down the stretch in that fourth quarter, just not able to keep guys in front of them. What makes Milwaukee so difficult is that they play five-out basketball with Giannis, even with Giannis on the court, because he's such a threat to catch the ball on the move. They do a very good job of using Giannis a couple feet off of the three-point line so that he can sort of, you know, you think about spacing the court. If he's just spotted up around the three-point line, he's a terrible three-point shooter, you would never guard him. You just ignore him. But what they do with him is they bring him a couple steps out so that as the ball is swinging, he's sort of walking or running into the catch. And then you have to close out on a guy who is so good at that Euro step, so good at just the long strides that he gets a head start on you, and it's just almost impossible to contain him. So they play five out, and then on-ball containment becomes just such an essential thing for guarding them. If you're constantly getting beat around the perimeter, you have no chance against them, because then either if you don't help, that means you get a one-on-one, guy beats you, and they get to the rim. If you do help, they kick out, and they get a lot of spot-up opportunities, and that's what happened tonight. Early on, so the second half, I thought, especially that third quarter, my God, what this was a fun game. If you step back from the fact that Denver's on a three-game losing streak and you step back from, you know, some of the funkiness around this team right now, this was actually a very entertaining game. In a vacuum, if you were not a fan of either team, this was a very, very entertaining one. That second quarter, Jokic, Malone after the game talked about guys didn't know the scouting report on Brook Lopez, apparently. I went back and watched every single three. I watched the whole game twice, but I watched every single three-pointer he took and just thought about, okay, was that laziness on somebody's part? And I, you know, there was a couple that you can maybe say, okay, could have been a little bit more urgent or whatever, but I think Brook Lopez was just on fire. The only time I really thought there was an egregious mistake defensively, Paul Millsap is guarding Giannis in transition. Jokic is on Brook Lopez, who's spotted up. And Giannis immediately, as good as Paul Millsap is as a player, against quicker guys, he's not actually very good at containing them like out on an island. Well, Jokic gives help when it wasn't his turn to give help, and that was the first three of the second half that Brook Lopez hit, and it was sort of the one that got his momentum going. He hit a couple in the first half, but it was that third quarter where he just really started raining him, and he got one that was like just such a rhythm, no-pressure shot that maybe that was what got him comfortable. But that was the only one where I felt it was an egregious defensive error by either Plumlee or Jokic. I think Brook just made a bunch of shots, and like I said, Milwaukee is so tough that you have to play sort of perfect defense on ball against them in order to stop them, and unfortunately Denver just was not able to do that tonight. But Jokic started to take over offensively in the third. He had a very strong third quarter, knocking down some threes, making some plays, forcing the issue. He had a coast-to-coast that was really nice. The play where – and then defensively, you know, like I said, there were moments – there was as many, if not more, moments in this game where I thought, man, what a great defensive possession by Denver, as I did think, oh, my God, they're completely out of sorts tonight. But there was a lot of possessions where they were good defensively and it didn't matter. Somebody hit a tough shot. But the possession where Jokic blocked Giannis was an incredibly impressive performance collectively by the Denver Nuggets. That was a 24-second – if you recall, that block turned into a jump ball with 1 second left. So you're talking 23 seconds of great rotations that – could have resulted, you know, Milwaukee worked the ball around. They did a good job. Everybody's on a string rotating. Could have ended in a Giannis dunk, but Denver never quit on the play. Jokic never quit on the play, recovers, blocks him, and that's a huge momentum play. So there was some really good stuff there, multiple rotation type stuff. But then Brook Lopez just started going nuclear. So Denver gets a lead in the third. They're playing strong. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, three shots in four possessions, I believe, for Brook Lopez, where he hits three threes. So he makes three threes in the span of like 2 minutes or maybe a minute and a half. And it was just huge. They open up a big lead because of it. And it's one of those things where Brook Lopez really is a great three-point shooter. He is as amazing a story as you can think of as of a player sort of changing, altering his game. He is now a reliable, almost, I mean, he's up there with all the rest of the great stretch fives in the NBA. That's just how good he is. There's a reason he set a record. Most three-pointers, eight of them, most three-pointers by a seven-footer tonight. But he went nuclear, and it looked like, okay, this is just not Denver's night. To start the fourth quarter, though, the second unit came in. Malik Beasley, in particular, had a really hot start to the fourth, knocked down 2 3-pointers, and they were good, in rhythm, confident 3-pointers. Is a funny sort of perfect start to the fourth quarter for the Nuggets. So Beasley hits those two 3-pointers. Then Giannis misses 2 free throws. And if you've been to Pepsi Center, you know that Chick-fil-A has a sponsorship deal where if a player, opposing player misses 2 free throws in the fourth quarter, everybody that went to the game that has a ticket stub gets a free chicken sandwich of some type. I don't remember the exact detail. So Beasley hits 2-3. The Nuggets are kind of dead in the water. Lopez took all the air out of the arena, except for there's actually a surprising amount of Milwaukee fans there tonight. I guess Denver just has a ton of people from Milwaukee. They all look the same, too. It's always like the super blonde Norwegian-looking person. There's so many of those guys tonight out there. Beasley hits 2 threes. Giannis misses 2 free throws, so the crowd just starts going wild because they get free chicken. That's what it takes to wake the crowd up, I guess. Then Lyle scores. Then a timeout by Milwaukee. Then Rocky hits his half-court shot, his famous if you don't know this, Rocky takes super mascot Rocky, the Nuggets mascot. He shoots a backwards half-court three-pointer, and he's surprisingly good at this. I don't know what his percentages, but he probably makes them in 50% of the home games. So he hits that, and the crowd is just going nuts. The crowd's up. They woke him up. It was the kind of a perfect, exactly what you needed. So the crowd was rocking. The momentum was all in Denver's favor. And I have to take a second here to really tip my hat to Malik Beasley and also to take an L. I got to say, I was not – if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I have not been the biggest believer in Malik Beasley's skill set. I knew he could shoot. He's super athletic, but I just didn't know if he would ever stick because I thought, you know, he's a low IQ basketball player, just had like a kind of a poor feel. He didn't seem to know where his moments were. I thought he tried to be too aggressive. I think I'm going to save that for a little bit later for somebody else, but I just didn't know that he knew how to play within himself. Well, he has completely proved me wrong this year. And it's still a bit early. He didn't have a ton of minutes, but I got to say, I am at the point now where I feel good about when he checks in. I don't feel like, oh God, they got to really buy some minutes here with Beasley on the floor. I think he's a solid player. He's playing within himself. He's playing confidently, knocking down shots. He seems to know when it's his turn and when it's not. And then defensively, he hustles around. So I have been really – I have to say that I am converted. I am now a believer in Malik Beasley. I think he's a very good player, especially a very good role player at this moment. And that's how you break into this league when you're a guy of his caliber. You become a role player first, and then you start to unwind new parts of your game, add new layers to your game, and maybe push the boundaries a little bit. But he's been great. All right, now to the bad part. With 5 minutes and 36 seconds left in the game, the Nuggets are up 109-105. They have all the momentum. They have all of the energy. Everything is going great. And then Gary Harris has a turnover in the pick and roll where I don't know what happened. The ball must have just slipped out of his hands. I don't know if he has a hand injury. There's been speculation about a shoulder injury. Something is not right with Gary Harris. Something is wrong with him. He missed a dunk earlier because he has those big hands, and he always palms the ball so well. He's one of the best, like, for a guy his height, he's one of the best at palming the ball. Well, he had a dunk where the ball just slipped out of his hands earlier in this game. And then on this pick and roll, he's got, I think it's Jokic, wide open, and somehow the ball, like, slips, and he just throws it to nobody. He kind of lets the ball sort of dribble out of his hand, and it goes the other way, and they get a bucket. So that was huge. Then Jamal Murray forced a shot, gets his shot blocked like really badly. It turns into a run out that Eric Bledsoe gets an and one on. So all momentum's gone. You're up 109-105. The crowd's into it, all this stuff, and immediately you give up a 5-0 run off of just bad basketball, bad plays. Gary Harris, a few plays later, forced a really bad three-pointer in the corner that turned into a Giannis runout. And this is where, you know, it's Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, I thought, all made bad decisions down the stretch over here. And that it's too bad because those guys have a lot of experience. They're not, as much as they're young still, they're not inexperienced players. They've been in big moments, and all of them made really like head-scratching decisions. Gary Harris takes this forced three in the corner that was contested early in the shot clock, and you think, man, in a close game, every possession matters. And just to give up an opportunity for you to allow a run out like that where Giannis gets an easy bucket, you just can't have that. You got to make the Bucks work in the half court. If you're going to work in the half court, you got to make the Bucks work in the half court. And they didn't do that. It was three straight fast break opportunities for them. And you're talking about clutch time. Trust your, you know, put yourself in position to make good, get defensive stops. And sadly, they did not do that. I don't know. This is why I hate the word aggressive so often when we're talking about basketball is, you know, as much as you need to be confident and look for your shot, a contested shot early in the shot clock that lends itself to a run out in crunch time is those kill you. And then down, you know, all momentum's gone. Jokic gets a post up. One of his first post up touches of the night, he gets a post touch. Giannis rotates over to sort of swarm him, and Jokic makes a really bad read, just tries to drop it off to Millsap. It goes awry. And the game was over. And that was sort of all she wrote. So really tough. Oh, just a brutal way to end this game. And there's a funkiness around this team. Like I said, the Bucks scored, they average 121 points. So I see a lot of people saying, oh, Denver's defense completely out the window now. Let's give it a couple games. Unfortunately, they have the Houston Rockets, who might have their mojo back, coming to town next. So they have another elite offense that spreads you out, plays similar five-out basketball or four-out with Clint Capella, who has that incredible rim-rolling gravity. So another tough matchup for Denver, and tough in the ways that Denver seems to struggle with. I really worry that Michael Malone is going to look at tonight's game, and if they struggle against Houston, look at that game and say, okay, with Juancho in there, the starting unit cannot defend. And maybe that's the case. Maybe we find that out, but I just don't think you can draw too many conclusions by playing the number one offense in the NBA and the number two defense. I mean, even though, you know, say what you want, Denver was in a game in which Brook Lopez set a new three-point shooting record and was shooting threes from 5 foot behind the line. Denver was in the game. You're playing the number one offense in the NBA, or number two offense in the NBA, and you're still in the game. So I hope that the team is a lot more patient, as patient as they were with Torrey Craig with this new lineup, because I really do think long-term it's going to be a good one. Another issue, Jamal Murray, I talked at beginning of the year, I talked about how last year I thought Gary Harris, as he added new playmaking to his game, his decision-making took a step back, and that's sort of natural. As you start to push the boundaries of what you're capable of, inevitably, by pushing the boundaries, that means sometimes you're going to cross the line. And I think Jamal Murray really believes that he needs to be this great one-on-one playmaker for the Nuggets right now at age 21, because there was just a lot of forced moments in this game where it felt like he was trying to do what he feels is expected of him to be this playmaker. And that block shot was a great example of it. They didn't need that in that moment, but it was very clear that he felt what they did, and it ended in disaster. So, you know, there's just a lot of learning that I think when the Nuggets were 9-1, I think everybody kind of knew, okay, you know, they beat the Bulls by a buzzer. The Bulls aren't necessarily good. You knew a regression was coming. And really, you look at it at Memphis, at home against Milwaukee, that's not too bad. That Brooklyn loss stands out like a sore thumb, because I think if they win that one, Nuggets fans sort of feel it doesn't feel as much like a three-game losing streak if you have that one in that breaks things up. But I will say that I think the vibe is just off with this team, and there's a weightiness to this team that is the first, I would say, like 4 to 7 games of the year, I thought Denver had a very positive sort of feel about them. Workmanlike, focused, confident. I would say right now there's a weird tension. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this theory out that I could be wrong on. I think one of the major culprits of what is causing this team to struggle right now is something that is behind closed doors, meaning that there just seems to be some element to this team that as yet undetected, and it could be an X's and O's thing. It could be an interpersonal thing. It could be a weird tension. But right now, there's some weird vibe around this team that there's just a weightiness. You know, I talked about when Michael Malone got his extension, you would expect the sort of jovial Michael Malone, you know, right at the beginning of the season. You'd expect a jovial. He's been so focused, so serious this year, just so weighty. I talked about how it doesn't feel like this team plays with joy anymore. That was one of their traits last year. And even when they were winning gritty. They were winning tough. They were winning defensive-minded. But it felt like the joy part of it was gone. And I think there's an important balance between having a team that has that joy and that happiness and a team that is serious. I mean, there's a time to be happy and joyful, and there's a time to be serious, but the Nuggets just seem to never get into that joyful part. They're competitive. They're, you know, they play with fire. Even tonight on the defensive end, like I said, there were some moments where guys were really flying around and doing some things, but just that happiness, that real flow that you feel through this team when they're really in their element was off. And one of the things watching tonight's game, I thought, really, the thought that really hit me. The Milwaukee Bucks seem to have found themselves. This version of the Milwaukee Bucks, like I mentioned, they're top three in both offense and defense. I think top two in both. I think they're number two in both. But you watch them and you think, yeah, that's a team that is playing like who they are. Offensively, they finally, Giannis plus four elite shooters and the proper spacing is just an unstoppable recipe. And defensively, they know what they're doing. They've got role players. They've even got rookies that are out there playing and giving good minutes. They just seem like a team that has an identity, and it's an identity that they ought to have. They are their truest selves. And I think with the Nuggets, they haven't found that. They're still working towards that. In a lot of ways, Milwaukee is Denver, but one year ahead. They have a unicorn in Giannis, just like Denver has Jokic. They've got a lot of very talented pieces around and some underrated guys like Middleton, Brogdon. But, you know, there's just Denver is still looking for their identity in many ways. And defensively, I think you're very encouraged by how much better Denver has looked. But offensively, it still just looks like, what is this team? I feel like we know what they are. We've seen it in years past, but they have not been able to get there. Gary Harris looks like he's not 100% in some capacity. A lot of the vibe and a lot of just them not being themselves probably has something to do with their missing key pieces. I mean, I do think in a lot of ways, if Will Barton had never gone down, Denver would probably not have as much of an issue. I think offensively they would look more like their true self. So still trying to figure out what the answer is in his absence, you know, is contributing a lot to it. But another thing, after the game, Michael Malone talked about, he had a really interesting quote about, he questioned how many guys on the Nuggets roster actually watched the Bucks play yesterday, because the Nuggets had an off day. And he said, this is your livelihood. This is your profession. It's an off day, but that doesn't mean it's an off day from practice and events and all that stuff. But you're a professional athlete. You're paid millions of dollars. He questioned how many guys were actually watching and scouting their opponent and using that off day to get better, both through rest, but also through preparation. And I think it's a great point. I like that he brought that up, because he mentioned that with regards to Brook Lopez and how many guys were surprised. And like I said, there's a little bit of that, but I think the bigger issue was just getting blown by. But there is a sense in which this team is really good, and they're turning some corners, the focus and the defense in particular, you know, better this year. But there's still more to go. There's more lessons. This team can, I still believe, be something special. They're 9-4, and they're not even scraping the surface of what they can be. But at the same time, it doesn't come just off of raw talent. This league, you don't win in this league off of talent. You win off of talent and a million other things like cohesion, all the intangibles, the effort, the intensity, the accountability, all of those things. And it just seems like something in there is missing, not just from the star players, but from a lot of different people. So hopefully, again, I don't want to make it sound like the sky is falling. The team is 9-4. They're learning some valuable lessons, but does seem like there's just something a little bit off with the team right now. And I think all of Nuggets Nation is hoping that they figure out what it is and correct it before too long. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget, leave a rating or review on iTunes if you have not done that already. I appreciate it for all of you that already have. I do read all of those, some really nice ones in there, and I appreciate it. And then, of course, tomorrow, if you want to leave a voicemail, 303-578-9393. Try to keep them short. The best questions are often 15 to 20 seconds long, but I say keep them under a minute. If you ramble, you're not going to get on. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I will be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.